Basement to your ears. This is the weekly meeting of the Queen City Improvement Bureau. Why did I stumble on that? I say this every week for like a decade now. Nonetheless, each week the dedicated staff of the Bureau meets to file recommendations, make reports, and try to survive on water that drips from the boiler pipes into our open mouths as we sleep on a bed of dot matrix printer paper. One day maybe we'll escape from the subterranean hell that is this basement, but until that day comes, this city is not going to improve itself. So here we stay, improving things. This meeting is now in session.
Hello.
Oh, what? Sorry, I was kind of napping. You caught me off
guard.
Really? Yes.
On a meeting day.
On a meeting.
We're going to meeting now.
I know, but I mean, it's been, Netflix has been really good. I've been binging 24/7.
What have you been, what could you possibly have been binging?
Every single Nordic detective noir ever made.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
That would explain why you were sleeping.
They're all sad. They all have stubble. Yeah. They all talk with dead people.
Yeah.
And they all turn out to be the murderer.
Oh.
I think we should actually pitch Netflix on one. And they'll be like, we'll just put some snow over there in the corner of the basement.
Right.
And we'll stage our own Nordic detective mystery.
Okay. In the sub-basement of City Hall.
In the sub-basement of City Hall, yes.
Because okay. I think there is actually like a case to be made for there needs to be a good Nordic-style mystery about the Queen City.
I think so.
I think we're like a city that's like begging to have like a wintertime mystery.
Yes.
Yeah.
Detective Dishan, someone is murdering the women in the city. I don't know what that accent is. But I've been watching a lot of them, so I think
speaking
I've
as a, you know, notionally French person, that was a very offensive Quebecer accent, actually.
Excellent. That's right. Good. Well, that's we can do a Canadian version.
Yeah.
Yeah. People pretending to be Quebecois.
Yeah.
I don't even know where I'm going with that. Anyway.
Should we do attendance?
Yes, please.
Okay, let's do that.
Let's move on from that one.
Yeah.
Tendi, our first one is Leda Nuchpi.
Leda Nuchpi? Leda. Oh, okay. Nuchpi. No, that's not who I was thinking
about. Maker of Nuchpi's Little Crunchies.
Oh.
Yeah.
That sounds good.
Yeah. And
what were they made from?
That's funny you should ask.
No?
Because Leda, throughout her whole life, never divulged the secret of, like, what made Nuchpi's Little Crunchy so crunchy.
Yeah.
It turns out it was bones.
Oh, good.
Human bones. She killed.
Those are good for you, though.
Yeah, I know. I mean, she killed a lot of people.
So, oh, that's sad.
Yeah. But anyway, she's.
And you invited her on our to our meeting.
I mean, I was hungry
for crunch peas.
Anything, I don't care.
Okay.
But she's not here.
Knowing that they were human bones, you were like, ooh.
I mean, no, I'm just reading the literature they gave me.
Okay.
So, I didn't know it until I read it right now.
Okay.
So,
but I don't think she's here.
Okay.
Mercifully.
Oh, you know why?
What?
I've mixed up the letters.
Oh, no.
It's not Leda Nuchpi. Hold on. Should be Paul Deschen.
That's me.
Okay.
Yep.
You're here. Okay. And second attendee, A. Monatti Rogan.
A. Monatti Rogan?
A. Yeah, A.
Not the Monatti Rogan.
No, just A. Not the indefinite article A. A stands for something.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
No. Do you know what?
What does it stand for?
Enemy Lover 22. Weird first name.
Yeah, very, very.
Just, anyway, I don't think they're here either.
No, I think so.
No anime lovers here.
I like me some anime.
But I mean, are you an anime lover?
Not enough to use it as my first name, though.
Precisely. Okay. You know, you would not classify yourself as a weeb.
No.
No, okay. Well, this is kind of embarrassing.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I mixed up the letters. Should be, hold on. Aiden Morgan?
And that's you.
Aiden Morgan.
As you would know.
That's me.
You should know.
I should know that.
Yeah.
But people, you know, I say to people, what's my name? And they say, don't you know? And I'm like, I don't and they think I'm joking.
Yeah.
So I'm going to make a name tag for myself.
That's a good idea.
Put it on.
You're actually
down.
Wearing one.
I am?
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah.
So what's on tonight's agenda?
Well, you know, I don't think we really sort of covered the topics we had on the show last week thoroughly, completely enough. So I wanted to go back. There's a couple other, a couple extra items I wanted to get to.
Okay, because that put me in the hospital for a time last time.
I know, but they fed you well.
They did.
You're actually looking very spry.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. And they gave you that blood.
That's right. Yeah. Which I need a very
anemic. Give him the plasma.
Give him the blood.
Anyways, last week at council, you will remember, Professor Peter Maras from the University of Regina's Business Administration Department was there to support Victoria Flores' food security motion. And there was some...
Food?
There was
cyber security or just security?
Just food security.
Okay.
Just good old-fashioned food security. Right. And council had some really, some really probing questions for Professor Maras.
Yes.
And you know what? I tell you what. I'll just, play a clip so we can, refresh our memories on what happened last week.
Good. No, I was just trying to get some more information behind what the whole program is all about and what has been on the Facebook page. And one thing, or actually there's several things that I'm going to say is very concerning about good trouble, about this group coming to the table. It seems like they're very much, they do some community well-being, but they're also very much involved with political extremism. They've ran
Councilor
a campaign
Bezo.
For defund the police.
Councilor Bezo, this is about the motion at hand, so... Okay, just hold on one second. So I just want to make sure it's one in tune with this motion and two that we're asking questions. So I just want to make sure those are two things.
Thank you. Yeah, so as I went on the Facebook page, I found that there is defund the police, they support WASP, they block trains. So what is the intent here? And you're not coming to the table with insurance. So what is the intent? What is your ask? And it previously called council a bunch of clowns. So what is the ask of this?
Why are you asking me?
Well, you said you were supporting good trouble.
Councillor Bezo, we're not going to get into debate. If you have a question related to the motion, let's stick to that.
Yeah, that is the question that gets around the...
Okay, hold on one second. Okay, so, sorry, leaving the character comments aside, with respect to the motion at hand, using the space, the physical space, what is your question?
What is the space going to be used for? Is the space going to be used for kind of an ideology training ground, or is it going to be used for delivering actually something to the community?
I already said this isn't about ideology.
So it's an ideology?
No, I believe that for the record you said not about ideology.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, so those were questions from Councillor Bezo for Dr. Peter Maras, who was speaking about this food security motion. And this Good Trouble Network group,
You mean those train blockers? They're blocking trains that might not go to Hamas? I don't even know.
Political extremists?
Yes.
Which, apparently, Councillor Bezo was too chicken to speak to them directly and bring his questions to them. So we thought it might be a good idea to put those questions to the Good Trouble Network, who are here today in the sub-basement.
Yay!
We have Tara Matembu and Kale McClellan from the Good Trouble Network, who were in the gallery while these questions were being asked, and those questions were not being asked of you. So how did that feel?
Felt great.
Did it?
It was so good. It was hilarious. It was... mind-numbing a little bit, but also hilarious, because every once in a while we'd catch Councillor Rashevich looks. I was laughing, full disclosure. He was nudging me, telling me to shut up.
Be professional.
Yeah, but I was this is silly, and so I was laughing.
And this isn't a comedy routine.
Yeah,
what are doing for us?
This isn't a bit. Yeah. I'd catch him looking, and then just before he made eye contact with me, he'd turn around really quickly, and so it was hilarious. It was a...
So they wouldn't even look at you?
Wouldn't even look at us.
Holy.
Amazing.
I think they're scared of you two.
Yeah.
I don't think it's just us. I think it's what we represent in the city, for sure.
Yes.
Feeding people?
Feeding people. I think...
Oh, dear.
I think for some of our council that aren't connected to the core, connected to some of our issues in our city, yes, I think that they fear the poor and fear the idea of dedicated volunteers and community members using mutual aid efforts to try to uplift their neighbors.
Right.
So, yeah, it was a cowardice act, but totally unsurprising from the folks that asked us those questions, refused to ask us questions, and took it out on our poor Peter.
I was irritated in that, and we talked about this last week, that you guys were there, and those three counselors who had all those questions for Peter Moraes didn't ask you any of them, and they waited until the white professor got up to talk to him as though he's the only person who could be in charge of this operation, because he's a prof, I guess. I don't know.
He must be running the show.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. He's our keeper for sure.
Yeah.
Papa Peter.
Yeah. Yeah, no, if last council, when we were there with, what was it, like 86 delegates for around the end homelessness motion.
Right.
Very similar, where we were watching mainly people of color, you know, pour out their hearts, plead for action, and you could see council whispering and snickering and not paying attention. So, you know, if you spent any time in there, it's something that's kind of normal behavior, is to treat people of color very offhanded, very, very dismissive of our presence. And so, yeah, thankfully we know we're backed by our community, and we'll continue to be there getting in good trouble.
Yeah. I do have to ask, you know, like, should we be scared? I mean, we hear you guys are political extremists, and you say these horrible, troubling things on your social medias. Like, should we be afraid? I mean, we're down here in this sub-basement.
Oh no. We're trapped in the room with them.
Yeah.
We got our leopard down.
Oh, yes. Well, you're never leaving this basement anyway, so.
That's true. Like,
yeah. Time we face the
Maybe we were sent down here with you.
Yeah, maybe this is purgatory.
Oh, yeah, no, you're never getting out.
We're going to have to split those vending machine sandwiches four ways now.
Yeah. I think it's hilarious, this idea that political extremism, which in the context of what you guys are doing and what you're saying, like, it is not terrifying. Like, you're expressing compassion on the internet and maybe outrage at people who don't share that compassion, that this would be something that they would be terrified of and, like, attack your funding over it seems a little galling to me, but...
It's not very surprising. We draw strength from Good Trouble, from, you know, a legacy of resistance. A lot of our, you know, we draw from American Indian Movement, Black Panther Party. Yeah. So, you know, the Black Panther Party for creating a free breakfast program, J. Edgar Hoover thought of them as public enemy number one. So, you know, a few years later in Regina, to have a group come together and be inspired by that type of politics, it goes with the territory that people are going to feel threatened. Yeah. But we wouldn't be doing this work if we weren't vastly supported by our community. You know, often Kale and I are seen as leaders of this, but it's a robust volunteer base of, you know, people from different organizations from across the city that want to see the city do well and see our neighbors do well. So, yeah, it's insulting sometimes from that class, but as we take a step back, we're proud of being a part of that legacy of resistance. We love getting in good trouble.
Where did that name come from? Because it's great. It's a really good name for a group.
John Lewis of the Civil Rights. He was one of the disciples of Martin Luther King Jr.
Okay.
He went on to have a long career in politics, but, you know, his slogan was, when you see something wrong, something unjust, you say something, do something, get in trouble, necessary trouble, good trouble. So that's what we thought we would get ourselves into, some good trouble on Treaty 4.
Nice. This is something that you guys have been doing that predates this one project, though. Like, you guys, I remember coming around the encampment in front of City Hall, and you guys were often there giving out food. How do you keep it up? Like, this is, it's not easy work. It's hard work. You guys have been doing it for a very long time. How are you staying motivated? Like, I would fail by this point. Yeah?
I'd say, mostly like the little people around us, they keep us hopeful, keep us energized, and laughing at the ridiculousness of what we're being faced with. I mean, like, if this is political extremism, then I guess we'll be political extremists. We'll be hand out soup and sandwiches because that's scary.
Yeah.
Do you cut the biscuits into like scary shapes, like black cats and bats
racist.
And stuff?
You know,
racist.
The word woke.
Yeah, those are the only letters in your alphabet soup.
And DEI.
Oh yeah. That's great. What is the project itself? And I should mention, we're on 91.3 FM, CJTR, Regina Community Radio, and we're the Queen City Improvement Bureau, talking with Tira Mutembu and Cal McClellan from the Good Trouble Network. And, yeah, I want to ask, like, so this project, you guys are trying to get something set up in Old Number One Fire Hall.
Yeah. We've been working closely with the Matriarch Collective, Heritage Community Association. Big shout out to Wendy and her team. They're just amazing. The Regina Street team. So we realized the need to have a dedicated space so we could focus on distributing meals and making the biggest impact we can. Yeah. So this program would look at us coming together, building meals through that space, and then distributing them throughout the core of the city.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah. And you guys were successful.
Yep.
So far, so good.
A lot of people fed.
Yeah. What about blocking trains? I heard Councillor Bizzo ask about blocking trains. I thought maybe you were taking the food and instead of giving it to people, you were just putting it on the train tracks.
Sometimes
like
you have
giant
to
piles.
Feed people and pretend the spoon is like a choo-choo train.
Oh,
so I think that's why he got confused.
Right. And then you put your hand in front. Nope.
Your mouth is full still.
Meanwhile, he's like, oh, they're blocking trains. I get it now.
Yeah. Easy mistake.
Yeah.
When do you guys start? When do you like take over the space and start working in it?
So we're just working with the city right now. We're hopeful to be in at the start of May at the latest. We have a little bit of work to do just to coordinate and solidify our relationships. So that, we've been doing this nomadically, so just a little bit of changeover, but we hope to be fully functioning by May. Actually, as I say that, nothing's going to stop. We're just going to continue and do it on the fly. We're really excited to get outdoor for Sunday Funday in Core Park. So we'll have one more Sunday this upcoming for Easter, and then we'll be moving outdoors every Sunday. And that's just a game changer for us in our community, being with, it's like a fun family cookout every week. And so...
Nice.
Kale Talks, how do we... That's something that energizes us for sure, is being able to... We've made, lifelong relationships with people. So, yeah, getting outdoors with them is going to be a highlight of the spring to start us off.
What is your hope with... When you guys, consolidate into the fire hall, how often are you guys going to be, serving food? How long... How operational is that space going to be in a week?
It's pretty operational as it is. Besides, there's a little bit of... it's sat empty for a few years, so there's basic things that we kind of need to clean up and dust off. But it's pretty operational as it is right now. And we're not going to be serving meals out of the building. It's strictly just for preparing meals to be distributed out.
Interesting. Yeah. I don't think they understood that at council.
Don't think there's a lot they understood about that motion.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I think they were worried that you guys were going to be... Well, I think they thought you're going to run an ideological training camp out of that space.
Yeah, pledge allegiance to Fred Hampton before we give you a soup and sandwich.
Mutual aid, motherfuckers.
Moving on.
That's bad trouble.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's the trouble Clark was talking about.
Yeah. Thanks, Tiro. Yeah, what kind of food? What do you guys? And who does the cooking?
Well, we team up with all community members, me, my brothers, other folks. Through the years, we've developed, you know, we talk with the Matriarch Collective. It's a lot of fun to share those recipes and learn. There's a difference when you're cooking at home for a few people compared to doing these bulk cooks. So we've learned some tricks and trade tricks of the trade. Definitely, we're lentil folks, legume folks.
Right.
So
you're vegan, right?
I'm vegan, but this program we're definitely harm reduction. So if we get some meat delivered to us, we definitely can collaborate with Matriarch. But yeah, so lentil and bean burritos, things like that are. Basis, a lot of chickpea tuna salad sandwiches, some potato salads, pasta salads.
Have you guys considered doing like TikTok cooking show out of the old number one fire hall and preparing like these meals? Because I think that's something
very cool.
I kind of love that idea.
Because, I mean, I may be watching a lot of those lately. And
Kale's got a green thumb, so we've been talking about cooking with kale and then, growing with kale and cooking with Tiro. So kind of that, we're going to be working with some other folks and planting gardens in our community that we want to harvest. So maybe that's a way, it's a great idea.
Cool. How much gardening do you do for this project, Kale?
Well, this is, the third year we've gardened? Honestly, it's just a one-man operation right now.
Or one kale?
One kale. One kale. operation, and we've been doing this for 3 years, so it's not a ton, but we've got plans to kind of scale up now. We've also got, a really experienced gardener in our group.
Right.
Who is hopefully going to help us out with, I guess, being more productive and, planning a bit better. Because I'm kind of, I've got ADHD, so I'm very chaotic and, everything goes everywhere. But our friend has the know-how of, how to plant a garden to get the most, crops out of it. So hoping to scale things up this year for sure.
Cool. And do you have, some backyard space, or you had a community garden, or...?
This year we're going to be at a community garden, the Cathedral Community Garden, which is exciting.
I think I knew that, yeah. Awesome.
And we also, in the courtyard at the fire hall, have a bunch of planters set up. So that's going to be part of, we want to be out in the community, walking with our neighbors and checking on some of the other plots and garden boxes throughout Heritage. Looking forward to that.
Awesome. With that community, I think one of the reasons why these counselors are so scared of you guys and scared of what you do is that I think they just find that neighborhood terrifying, and I think they find the people because, they're not their people. They're other people. And I think they find them terrifying. Can you, talk about this community and this, neighborhood that you guys are in and, what it's like? Can you give us a sense of what it's like?
Well, it's definitely a beautiful working class neighborhood, full of artists, full of the working class. It's got a beautiful, rich history of new Canadians coming to this neighborhood, coming to, Treaty 4, establishing their families and roots here. So it's got a real connected kind of push, help your neighbor out. I'm amazed at how many people have lived lifelong in our community. Yeah. So you have people that have gone through the school system, and then their kids are going through that same school system. So it's got a real rich connected history through new Canadians and an Indigenous community that have intergenerational families living amongst each other with this splash of amazing artistic creativity and a real sense of wanting to make Regina a more inclusive, better place. So I think that it is a leader in the culture of the city. It's we're proud to add to that fabric.
Nice. And what else are you guys doing as Good Trouble Network? Is this absorbing all of your time, or do you have other Good Trouble that you're up to?
currently feels like it is.
But, yeah. but it's pretty all-consuming. And also, we can't let you know our plans. Right? There has to be some mystery to us.
For the record, even if we wrote it up as a report, nobody will read it.
That's true. That's fair. Yeah. Mostly just continuing to advocate, supporting folks as they come to us.
I think with mutual aid, we have to be responsive to our community needs, and those change season by season, day by day. And so, you know, we love being connected to our community and being ready as a group to be responsive. So we have to stay flexible and be ready to meet the needs of our community, which is ever-changing.
And then in the fall, we're getting ready to do, like, harvesting kind of parties, I guess. Workshops where we can teach people how to, like, preserve food and hopefully stretch some of the, like, stuff that we get, that we grow and that we get donated to us. Actually, the city manager mentioned that her mom would, like, she'd love to invite her mom to a canning session to teach us, which was, like, amazing. And I was just like, that's a long drive to teach people how to can, but I'm so down for it.
Sorry.
So I was going to ask, if people do want to donate to the Good Trouble Network, where would they go? How would they get in touch with you?
Check our Instagram. We're at Good Trouble Network. Is it YQR? I can't remember if there's YQR at the end or not, but you could just search up Good Trouble. We've got our e-transfer information in our bio, and shoot us a message, shoot us an email, goodtroublenetworkyqr@gmail.com. We're pretty easy to find, get in contact with.
And also volunteers. We're always meeting new folks that are coming to our breakfast program, which runs 7:30 to 8:30, to 9-ish at Thompson School, Monday through Friday. And then we'll be going to our home base, preparing meals for the Regina Street team every day. We have Teach-In Tuesdays at Paws Coffee. We support the Saturday Matriarch Cook, and then we have the Sunday Fun Day. So we have activities 7 days a week to get involved in mutual aid efforts.
Awesome.
Wonderful.
All right. On that note, we should go to Innovative Revenue Tools. And can you guys stick around for part two?
Yeah.
All right.
Cheers.
Awesome. And we're back from Innovative Revenue Tools on 91.3 FM CJTR. Access Now, community radio in the Queen City.
Hello.
Yeah.
I am back in the Nordic mist. I still can't do that accent at all.
No,
or
you
I'm
really
good
can't.
At it.
Yeah.
Or I think I'm really
good. I think you're really good. I think you think you're really good at it.
I do think I'm really good at it. Thank you for saying so.
Yeah. Anyways, thanks for sticking around, guys. I thought what we could talk about, because this is so carefully planned out, is there's a federal election coming up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When'd that happen?
Oh, dear man. Weeks. It's been eating at my brain with this election. There's been... there isn't a lot of talk about cities in this election so far. And there hasn't been a lot of talk about help for people in this election, except on the subject of housing. About 2 weeks ago, the Liberals dropped their housing plan, which I have to confess, I actually quite like it. It's like billions of dollars, and there's like a specific carve-out for deeply affordable housing and housing for like vulnerable folks. We don't know if that's actually going to happen, but... just that gesture is being made is nice to see. And there's also, like, the goal is to preserve the Housing Accelerator Fund and expand it to, like, increase the amount of housing that's getting built and the variety of housing that's getting built. So I think these are great things. So I was pretty excited to see that. The NDP followed up with their housing plan on April 7th, I do believe. And the Conservatives, I don't know if you'd call it a plan, so much as Pierre Poilievre has kind of ranted about the lost Liberal decade.
I don't even want to talk too much about Poilievre because of my blood pressure. I don't want to be rushed back to the ER.
I should have got some quotes. So anyways, the NDP plan. So I thought we could talk about the two plans and just like compare and contrast. The NDP plan is they want to build 3 million homes by 2030. And one of the things they make reference to is that they're going to replace the Liberals' expiring Housing Accelerator Fund, which is kind of irritating to me because, you know, I want the NDP to come up with a good plan. But like just days before this, the Liberals had committed to like, you know, continuing the Housing Accelerator Plan. This seems fun. This seems like a, you know, an obvious like self-own there. And then as you go through the list of things that they're proposing, it's just cribbed from the Housing Accelerator Fund and from the Liberal Housing Plan that came out a week earlier, which is kind of frustrating. So they have things like require cities to allow more multi-unit homes in all neighborhoods. That's already been done. That was done last year. Require more housing near public transit routes. That was done last year. Speed up permits and approvals so homes can get built faster. That's been done and is in the process of happening. Ending exclusionary zoning that blocks new houses. Again, that was done. Like, this city of Regina actually, like, ended the vast majority of its exclusionary zoning last year. It's gone. And as long as, you know, we continue to, like, dangle bait in front of the faces of city council and, like, promise them money, they may perhaps not reverse it. Although, with this crew, who knows? The two things that I think that stand out as being new are support good jobs by requiring project labor agreements or community benefit agreements. So that seems to be, I'm not sure. I'll be frank. I don't know what these buzzwords mean. And the other thing is a national rent control rule. I love the idea of rent control, but it's a provincial thing. And this is going to be another one of those things that the NDP is demanding that they have no power to force, and they're going to have to like negotiate with chaps like Scott Moe and Daniel Smith to get this to happen.
Famous defenders of renters' rights.
Exactly.
Yes. Friends of the working person.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, okay, so that's where the NDP plan stands. So it's a lot of stuff that's been pulled from Liberal plans, along with, I think the key thing that they've done is rental protections for renters. And, oh, they also have like a renter's bill of rights. Sorry, that was also in my notes to say, and I forgot it. I missed it. Okay, meanwhile, the conservative housing plan, which literally starts with during the lost Liberal decade, housing costs doubled. And when Pierre Poilievre was housing minister, 39% of median household income went toward housing costs. Now it consumes 60%. Housing is a lagging indicator. Like, you do something now, and then in 10 years with housing, it improves. So the time to do all of this stuff so we wouldn't have a housing crisis now was when Pierre Poilievre was housing minister. So he's basically telling on himself that he failed. And this next paragraph starts with, we're going to start by firing the gatekeepers who block housing.
Finally, just those gatekeepers.
Building bridges, this guy.
Yeah. A lot of good building metaphors going on here.
Yeah.
Gatekeeping, building bridges.
So he wants to require cities to free up land, speed up permits, and cut their development charges, and build 15% more homes each year, which is, you know, that's fine, except that if cities don't hit their 15% targets, their funding will be withheld.
Yes.
And this 15% compounds year on year. So every year they have to build more housing or their funding falls further behind. And
we'll be swamped in houses. We won't be able to move for all the houses piling up.
Oh, man. Wouldn't it be nice?
Yes.
Wouldn't it be nice?
I think the Good Trouble Network could use it to block some trains.
Yeah. And then they're going to make homes more affordable by axing the federal GST on new homes up to $1.3 million. So these are the big, and that was their big thing. That was their big announcement, was the cutting the GST on houses up to $1.3 million. I don't know about all y'all, but I'm not buying a $1.3 million house anytime soon. So
Not in the next few months.
Yeah, not
I'm on
economy.
My third already. So.
No. I'm a slumlord already. Yeah.
So anyways, that is sort of I find the conservative tone on housing to be disturbing, that it's all about we're going to fire gatekeepers, we're going
to,
you know, punish cities. And I liked also their original plan, which they launched in 2023. Sorry, it was the Building Homes Not Bureaucracy Act. God, this guy. line item four in that, and this is basically cribbed from this as well, is impose a NIMBY penalty on big city gatekeepers for egregious cases of NIMBYism. I'm like, who do you think votes for you?
Yeah, that seems, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Anyways. So these are the housing platforms that are going into the election on, and two episodes ago, you can go back, and that's when we talked about the Liberal one and then ran out of time and ran out of housing platform because the NDP and the Conservatives didn't have theirs out at that point. So anyways, I've been talking too much. What do you guys want to see from your federal leaders on housing?
I think
just to ambush you with a question.
Yeah, I was not prepared for this. I think housing is obviously, like, having more housing and, like, the opportunity to buy is important, but, I mean, how are you going to save up for a down payment if your wages are just not covering enough for you to, like, yeah. A, live, B, like, pay your bills and, like, actually, like, have a good life, right? Like, not to be, like, all the boomers, but, like, that avocado toast, you know? Like, why can't we have avocado toast and housing, too? Like,
yeah,
that's my...
It's a good fat avocado. Yeah. It's, you want to be eating that, especially it's if you're
true.
A vegan.
Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
You could actually make a house out of avocado toast if you want it.
I suppose.
Think yeah. about it. Or don't. Anyway.
Yeah, I think when we think about housing, right, it's, you know, we have to root it in the thought of this is just a basic human right. And yeah. what I'd like for the federal government to treat the housing crisis like it is a crisis. People being unhoused, you know, if you look at it, gentrification leads to displacement. Displacement leads to homelessness, and homelessness leads to criminalization.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a outcome that we already know that exists in our society. So if we want to uproot this, and we love to talk about housing during this election,
yeah.
but if we're not talking about it being rooted in a fundamental human right, we're going to see much of the same. I was recently lucky enough to go out to Montreal to a housing justice convergence at Concordia, nice. And representing Good Trouble, and one of the leaders from the LA Tenant Union, Tracy Rosenthal, who's written Abolish Rent, you know, talks about rent as a ransom, as something that if not paid, you're forced to pay by state force, by threat of a gun.
Yeah.
And so when we think about housing and that different, what's our relationship with housing? What's our relationship with our communities? And what is the outcome that we want to get? And if it is to have a healthy society, I think that we have to fundamentally view housing as a human right. So that's what I want the conversation to change away from buzzwords, from slot gatekeepers, and to be, you know, in our world in Good Trouble, we deal with little kids in the morning and the unhoused. If you talk to those two communities, you hear way better ideas than those two platforms.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you need to have some people with some experience. Not people that can afford a $1.3 million house that are drafting this shit, this
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm fascinated by this idea of like rent being like a ransom. Because one of the things that I encountered when I moved to Regina is just how widespread landlordship was. That like people, you know, my age and younger would own like a revenue property, which I just thought was like crazy. And yet there were a lot of people who bought up like cheap properties and were able to like, you know, have like this passive income off of, you know, rent. And I'd never encountered that before. How would you bring up an issue like that with, say, a Clark Bezo, who I suspect would find this notion that, like, to rethink the notion of, like, rent and, you know, housing being a right? How do you convince a guy like that to even, like, entertain these thoughts?
I don't think that's anything I'm interested in doing. I really think that our community, as grassroots organizers, our community needs to know that we have that power. We don't need to worry about what a condo developer like him, you know, thinks. Yeah. We know what he thinks. What we need to do is empower our own voices to challenge this notion around housing. We do not need to develop our way out of this housing crisis. We need to community build our way out of this. We don't need developers, and we need to have that as a, you know, fundamentally going forward, we definitely do not need developers to get us out of this crisis. So not very interested in approaching someone in that, because I know what they think already.
Yeah.
What we need to do is make sure that our own working class, that we create more solidarity within the working class to know that we deserve much more, and we can fight for it and get it.
Yeah. This thing that you went to in Montreal, did they come up with any like ideas on how to like actuate, how to like, you know, implement these ideas?
Tons of different conversations took place. I think that there's going to be some more formal asks that are coming out in the next couple of weeks. Some things that came out is each city has radical tenant unions that are very active. And so I think that that is something that Regina will have to look at, is what role does tenant unions play in advocating for this change at a municipal level, and then each community having their own powerful tenant union to represent the working class and fight from that perspective. So that was one of the things that came out of it, is the need for those tenant unions across the country to continue to engage with each other to come up with working solutions. Because what works here might not work in, I can't do a Quebec accent, Aiden. But across from, you know, Quebec or BC, these tenant unions are in place and doing radical, wonderful work. We have different, each community is a little different. So I think that having that municipal level from a tenant union perspective can allow us to make better federal demands.
Cool.
I think also like community land trusts is so like so important. Like I think I don't want to say her name, but the last mayor.
Did you say it three times?
She'll appear. Yeah, and steal my soul. but the thing that she did in North Central was like super cool, and I would love to see that replicated here in like Heritage and being able to like hold like these plots of land, have them ready for folks to build on, ideally. Yeah. Like tenant union or tenant organizing is really important, but I mean you're still going to be stuck in the landlord tenant relationship at the end of the day, and if we're not like, we need to get people out of that, we got to like give them a rope to pull them out so that they've got like some ownership on a lot of these places that maybe wouldn't otherwise be available to them. Like I'm thinking like even housing co-ops and that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
for sure.
I'm glad you brought that up. That the North Central, well, it started with North Central Strong, and it's now going to be like a North Central Community Land Trust. And that was actually like, that was an amendment that Andrew Stevens, Ward 3 counselor, sort of like slapped on there in the meeting. And what was that?
I was going to say that political extremist.
Yeah. So ideological.
So training. So ground.
But yeah, so this idea that they're going to be taking, land that's been, you know, that's been abandoned or, you know, abused, or the taxes haven't been paid, that this land will then, the community will basically be able to govern how that land is going to be used and how it's going to be developed. I think that's going to be radical and could be fantastic for that neighborhood. Yeah. Yeah. I guess I'm a little bit, God, I want them to like come out with more details. I guess these things take a while, but it's been, you know, a year now, and we still don't know exactly what it's going to look like. But yeah, they at least mention it every now and then.
Hopefully there's some housing built at the old Taylor Field. And
you think? I think that'll ever happen.
the great bait and switch of 10 years ago, yes.
There is a community, they say there's a community plan now. There's a budding community plan, and they've worked out like where housing can be built, and there's going to be this geothermal plant that's, if it happens, and there's going to be a park on the land that's too toxic to put housing on. We'll let our dogs run there,
I guess. And our children play.
Yes. Through the pores play.
Yeah.
It's lead in the water.
Yeah. But yeah, we'll see. I don't know where that's going to go.
For sure.
Yeah. All right, we're on 91.3 FM, CJTR, Regina Community Radio. Regina Access Now Community Radio.
Indeed.
We're the Queen City Improvement Bureau with Kel McClellan and Tira Matambu and Aiden Morgan, and we're talking about, we're just talking about housing. I understand, though, that there is something coming up in the city that we need to pay attention to.
There's something coming up?
Yeah.
Oh.
I foresee. I portend.
Oh, yes. Well,
that something is...
It's not even coming up. I believe it's happening as we speak.
No.
Yes.
What
it's
is it?
The Galaxy Psychic Fair.
Ooh. And what is this? And where is it?
Because I don't know.
I'm not psychic, Aiden.
Yet.
Not yet.
Well, that's because you've never been to the Galaxy Psychic Fair and gotten your aura photographed.
I really want to get my aura photographed.
It costs you $20, though.
I may have to borrow $20.
Borrow for your aura? Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. The Galaxy Psychic Fair, it's actually an organization, a Canadian organization, a collection of psychics, seers, starseeds, twin flames, you name it, and they go on tour in the summers to different cities. And right now, it is here.
Nice.
So, yeah. It's at Queensbury. It's at Real.
Oh, it's here.
Queensbury Convention Center.
Ah.
And I just...
It is thriving at Real that they've got the psychics there.
And I found out it was happening because I Googled in the most sort of like... Picture me Googling in the most distressed way possible, what is happening in Regina? And instead it just gave me events, and this was one of them.
Okay.
So, but this one I found to be certainly the most interesting event of the bunch. My favorite, you can go see Cole McCoy. He has a great photo. He's got his chin, like his fist up to his chin,
uh-huh.
Sort of like doing that. Sort of like I can see through your soul kind of look. And it says he's a master rune reader who combines the ancient wisdom of Norse.
Oh.
It doesn't say Norse what. It doesn't say what he's combining it with. I think the way they coded the thumbnails here or the tiles, there's only so much text they had available.
Right.
So, but they're hoping, I think, that those who are truly psychic will know the rest of the sentence.
Right.
So if you want to meet someone who combines the ancient wisdom of Norse...
With whatever...
With other things,
yeah.
You can bring something to combine with, like bring some Jello. I have no idea. That could work. That's it.
Nice.
There's lots more. I just picked out Cole McCoy. There's also a guy who has curly bangs but no mustache. He's got like long curly hair, curly bangs. But when you do that, you need like a proper mustache.
Yeah, I think you
do to like to complete the look.
Flared
he doesn't
pants.
Have the mustache,
yeah.
So I don't trust him.
Yeah, I wouldn't trust him either.
This is my very subjective take on this event.
We went to one of these once before.
We did.
Yeah, where was that? It was just outside of town.
It was
like Lumsden or something.
Yeah, it was out around Lumsden. Yeah. I don't think it was part of the Galaxy Psychic Fair.
No,
but we went and we found out about chemtrails and crystals and the evils of fluoride
and crop circles
Yeah. And I'm. Part of the reason I'm bringing this up is that this is where quite a lot of the kinds of anti-science woo-woo talk that you hear, for example, that you're probably going to hear coming up about fluoride.
Yeah, on May 1st. May 2nd.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This is the segue. This is the kind of incubator for these kinds of ideas or anti-ideas, as I would put it.
Well, it's funny, like, The premiers of Alberta and Saskatchewan have both been cornered about chemtrails, and they both have committed to do research on chemtrails. And I think Danielle Smith went so far as to say that she will make sure that there won't be any. But yeah, that all these things cluster the way they do. It's almost like there's something in the water.
Yes. Yeah. Could be fluoride.
Could be
lead.
Well, there isn't, though. There is lead.
Could be asbestos in the concrete. Who knows?
Yeah. A nice big ball of concrete, lead, and fluoride.
Yep. Just
rub it on your teeth.
Yep. Just, you know, if you're feeling snacky, just in the middle of the night, just keep it in the fridge.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, the May 2nd council meeting, I'm terrified of this, frankly, because I'm going to watch the whole thing. But, I mean, it was going to be part of the budget. It was going to eat up all of this budget oxygen over fluoride. And so what's going on is Councillor Bizeau has a motion because we were, like, months away from getting a contractor. Oh, those are some great bangs. Those are magnificent bangs.
See, but there's no mustache.
No.
See? Oh.
See,
I wasn't sure what curly bangs would look like.
Yeah, now you know.
I'm sure he was in some kind of like British glam rock band in the 70s.
I know,
and he's retired.
That's the look.
To his garden, yeah.
Bingo. To do psychic rune readings and so forth, yeah.
Yeah.
Mark Pearson is his name, by the way.
Cool. But anyways, that's great radio when you show pictures.
I know. I love it. Yeah, I know. I'm really doing a great job. So
we were about to get a fluoride system in for Regina, and it was about to be implemented. We just need to get a contractor to install it, and Clark Bezo has a motion coming forward on May 2nd to cancel that program before it even gets started. Mm. So... and I know for a fact that this thing, because every other time fluoride has come up at council, it has drawn out every quack in the city. And very sad to bring this up, but on April 22nd, which is coming up in just a few days, Councillor Sarah Turnbull has a meeting at Victoria Square Mall, I believe it is, where she's going to have two naturopathic doctors. And they will be talking about fluoride in the water. And I'm just like, oh, Sarah, you were our MVP so far. Our, you know, best new counselor. Yes. And then these are not experts on fluoride. It would be nice to have, like, a scientist. Well, like, 100 scientists.
Did you say that Clark Bezo wants to, like, kill this before it gets started?
The fluoride program? Yeah.
Yeah. Funny, I think with Bezo, he'd want to, like, make sure it gets carried to term, but that's
nice.
Just a guess.
Yeah. Well, and we've talked about this ad nauseum, but just, he's the guy who has got on council because efficiency and cutting the budget and doing things properly, and here he is dredging up a decision from 2.5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And making us relitigate the whole thing, pay like multiple city staff to sit in Henry Baker Hall for, you know, 8 to 10 hours.
I mean, but we know this is always a risk with every new council, right?
Yeah.
That everybody's going to bring ideas which have been tread over multiple times and try to relitigate them. So, I'm not surprised that this is happening. I'll put it that way.
Yeah. You know, if they just listened to the Queen City Improvement Bureau more, they'd know these things that happened.
I think they would hunt us down, frankly, if they listened to us.
They won't find us.
They can't find us in this basement.
Yeah. Anyways, all right. So, guys, in the waning minutes, what do you need people to know about your food program? Like, how can they get money to you? I know we've gone over this before, but this is the second half.
Yeah.
How can they support you guys?
You can send e-transfers to goodtroublenetworkyqr@gmail.com.
Right on.
Check us out on Instagram. We've got all of our information for getting involved and for making donations there.
And what kind of volunteers do you need?
We have a few different, like if your idea of holding a teach-in or you want to have a certain subject, you can contact us and we can work on that. Definitely hands in the kitchen is primarily what we're doing, is cooking for community, right. Gardening. If there's a story or something compelling in the community and you want to have a platform for, you know, advocacy on this issue, contact us. We can support. It's a network, so we're promoting solidarity across. So that's food, housing, advocacy. We always, you know, mutual aid. So many people think that they aren't making a difference. But if you come down and make a PB&J, you know, sandwich, call yourself a revolutionary. Yes. It is helping the cause. And so every little action helps. If you have clothes to donate, contact. We're meeting. Come out to a Sunday fun day and bring your kids. You know, I'd say that to both of you guys. Come on out. It's a fun time. It's not all hard work. A lot of it is coming together and having fun with your community.
What would you tell people? Like, what do they get out of this? Like, what is what's the other side of, like, the volunteering? How do you feel after you've done it?
Depends on how long you've been in the game. First few times feel real good. I think it's we get out of it is like connection and community, and I think especially like coming out of the pandemic, a lot of us have been missing that, and I think that healthy communities means like coming and meeting your neighbors and having conversations mm-hmm. and just, you know, like, hang out. I think yeah. it's so important.
I think, Aiden, you're talking about Netflix. Check out Join or Die. It's about Robert Putnam's book, Bowling Alone. And I think just joining clubs and being a part of community is something that we need to do. And this is an opportunity of connection. I love taking my daughter and being a part of community. We at Sunday Funday, it's some of her friends from the school as well. So I think it's just important for what I get out of it is that I feel like I can look at my daughter when she's older, and if she asks me what was I doing during this time, I can say I was trying. I was with your Auntie Kale and other community members organizing, agitating, and educating. And we look forward to continuing to do so.
Awesome. Cool. Okay. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's that time.
But before we adjourn, just want to mention that longtime listeners will notice a little bit of new interstitial or incidental music tonight. That's from our friend of the show, Kimberly Fury from Edmonton. She's a genre-bending alt rocker and soundtrack composer. And she would like to remind you all that trans rights are human rights. And with that, I move to adjourn.
I second that motion.
Very well. Motion carried. Meeting adjourned. You've been listening to the Queen City Improvement Bureau on 91.3 FM. Access now. Community radio. Tune into the community. Our guests tonight are Tiro and Kale from the Good Trouble Network. We are Paul and Aiden. Music from Kim Fury and Ryan Hill, a.k.a. Guidewire. Find us on our website, queencityib.com, or on Blue Sky. You can find us all on Blue Sky and on cjtr.ca. All right, that is it. Keep on improving your journey.